Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Come on, check one, two, check one, two.
It's a Thursday and I left my blues in the back of the second drawer in my nightstand. I'm too busy giving sounds, paprika, you taste my, oh Jai, I'm so high, listening to Primo Vision. I add a whole woman of grace in every color, every spectral prism, yeah. Go ahead and say that twice. Every bar that I spit is from living the life. She nice. You think I don't see it? My glow shines from the solar plex of my being. She sweet and she tough. I could give you my all, but is it ever enough? They say chatting about my body on IG. Say I'm a mean bitch, I'm an Illuminati. But ain't nowhere near around here. When I write these songs, when I light my spliff, when I raise my son, atone for my sins, when I stack my papes, when I deal with these men, none of them could ever be me. J-I-L-L-S-C-O-T-T. In the place to be, North Philly.
It's a Thursday and I left my blues in the backseat of an Uber. Hollywood, a hallelujah, I've been seeing right. Ooh, yeah. These bars are nasty while I'm spitting them out. And once I tell you my price, won't take no different amounts. Okay, I think I finally figured it out. I am the greatest, always in the latest, like Lauren. So pardon my arson.
All right, okay.
Is that Jill Scott?
Jill Scott, new album just dropped 2 days ago, man.
She's rapping like that.
Well, on one song, yeah. The rest is the normal singing and, you know, R&B type-ish, as you expect from Miss Jill Scott. I'm a big fan of hers.
Me too.
Boom. So, you know, when the album, so I had to give it a listen. And there's one done by DJ Premier that you just heard now. It's called Northside, featuring Tierra Whack. Yeah, dope. She could spit, you know what I mean? She's not the greatest MC, but she's all right, you know what I'm saying?
She's not whack.
She's definitely not whack.
You should change her name.
Okay, party people, I have been... Oh, we got Graph Critique at the end. We got maybe a Graph game. We got more music and all sorts of stuff to get into. All that usual Arms House business. But as you can see, people watching, we have a guest on. I've been waiting to do this episode for a while now. I've been mentioning it on the pod several times. I want to shout out our guest, Mark, a.k.a. Ingo, in the place.
Yo, what's up?
The loot.
What's up?
Thank you for joining us. I mean, like, the reason why I wanted you on, obviously, you're a safe bloke. We've met a couple of times. I've seen your graph all over the place and shit. Well, I did. Not so much anymore. Because you went through something, man. You went through the system, basically. Yeah. And in the last few episodes, you know, since that 49-year-old North London male got raided by the BTP. So everyone's like kind of been clocking and talking and speculating and like, you know.
There was a rumor about Killer Keller getting raided, yeah, wasn't there?
Killer Keller!
Yeah, I heard the rumor.
It was so funny.
He's too nice of a guy. He don't get mixed up in that kind of stuff.
We were having a convo about that when we heard the rumor and we were trying to find the Chinese whispers. Like, we were trying to find the source of the information, you know, and it turned out to be bullshit, obviously, but yeah, that was hilarious, man. Because yeah, I mean, but couldn't they have done Keller for incitement just to get through his door? Not they might not end up in a conviction, but
I got into an argument with a mate of mine, is also a writer, and we were talking about like, oh, what could it be? What could it possibly be? And I was thinking like, maybe could it be like conspiracy? Could it be like? I mean, you could. The way I look at it with the law is like you can stretch anything,
yeah,
to fit whatever narrative you want it to fit. So
exactly, and that's what I was saying. Like, you know, because this is the thing that's been going around. Again, I don't know Killer Keller's business, so this is pure speculation on my behalf. But I'm thinking from the police perspective. Keller's got loads of footage of people's faces, you know, admitting to a bunch of stuff. If they can just get through his door to seize that stuff, they'll make up any excuse to do it, because Keller's not high on the most wanted list, obviously, yeah? But they'll make an excuse somehow. Anyway, we were speculating about that. Anyway, it's weird. And I cleaned my room, you know what I mean? I cleaned it after I just
on my just in case. I try to clean my room once a month.
Well, yo, okay. Let's get into this then, man. Let me ask the questions.
Yes.
Because I don't know anything about this. What year was this that you got nicked, you got raided, yeah?
Yeah. So I got nicked. It was July of 2022.
Red-handed, doing graph.
No. BTP came and spun my yard about like 5:30 in the morning. I want to say it was like July 16th or something, or July 18th in 2022. And so, you know, it was a funny time because I'd actually just done the Killer Keller podcast about a week before that.
Oh, shit.
Literally about a week before that.
See, there he is. He's grossing you.
Grossing. They were outside, Keller's house just watching people
deeper,
going in and
it
out.
It gets deeper, though, because... Oh, so I'd done the Keller podcast. I got put in a certain crew. And then I went and done my first panel.
Uh-huh.
And 5 days later, roughly, BTP came and spun my yard.
Oh, shit.
So that was, July 2022. And that's not like how it all started for me, but that's how like this part of my journey started for me. Mm. Obviously I was doing shit at a rate where people were being like, you need to calm down. I was actually rewatching the podcast with my girl earlier. And like in the background, there's a certain somebody and they're basically alluding to the fact that like we're telling him to fucking calm down. Like, stop etching all these train windows. Stop doing bait faced.
I think I even, because you were you were posting a lot of the stuff on Instagram. Yeah. And I was following you like from doing tags to doing this and this. And I remember even messaging you going, it's fun to watch. Don't get me wrong, but it's entertaining. But I don't know, maybe you're putting too much out there.
Well, the answer to that is absolutely. I was putting too much out there, at the time, that was a life I was living.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna sit here and like make excuses or like apologize or what. Like, none of that. Like, I was behaving in the way I was behaving, and like, and I mentioned this in the Keller podcast, but I'm an addict. Like, I've had problems with drugs most of my life. And I'm also highly compulsive. And I
use addict behavior. What type of drugs, if you don't mind me asking? You don't have to answer it.
No, listen.
Crack.
Mate. Plenty.
Oh, is it?
Plenty of crack. No, listen. I don't get a joke. I never met a drug I didn't like. I'll put it that way. But 13, 14, got turned on to, smoking weed, drinking alcohol, that kind of shit. When I was around, I think it was like 16, 17, I was living in the States at the time, and I had a surgery on my hands, and they prescribed me painkillers. And all I can tell you is that I remember when I took those painkillers and I went to school the next day, they made me feel like the man. It cured every social anxiety, every bit of depression, like that thing, whatever that was, it fixed me. Come a couple years later, 18, 19 years old, I'm in university, I'm experimenting, I come across opiates, painkillers, and that was it.
And in the States or in the England?
This is in the States. I lived in the States for about 10 years, so between 2002 and 2022.
So you're talking.
What college did you go to in the States?
What university?
Yeah,
I went to Indiana University, which at the time was Playboy magazine ranked the number one party school in the United States. So I was fucking living it up. I was living it up.
I bet. When you say opiates, you're talking like codeine, Vicodin, Adderall, those American things that we keep hearing about in America. That wasn't really big here.
Adderall's an amphetamine, but I'm not going to get into it. But codeine, Vicodin, hydrocodone,
syrup,
oxycodone. But that led me onto heroin, which it's all in the opiate family of drugs. And that was my main thing. I did everything and anything else, but that was the main thing. And I spent about 17 years of my life physically dependent on opiate drugs, where, you see a heroin addict, they need that fix.
Mm.
They're going to be sick. So that was me. That was me for a long time. So yeah, and
so you had that addictive personality, and you kind of, when you got into graph, like, and you were back in, you were in London now living, and you were just on it, man.
But wait, graph came first or drugs came first?
Oh, drugs came before. Drugs came first because, like, I tried my first, you know, cigarette joint at age 13. Tried my first drink of alcohol at fuck knows what age, 8, something like that. I don't know. But the first time I ever did graph, I went to this small little high school in the States, and there was me and this one other kid. We were like the two kids who did art. Mm. And one day he comes in and he's drawing these like characters and whatever. And he's like, yo, he's like, do you know about graffiti? And I was like, yeah, we were about like 15, 16 years old. And he's like, we should come up with tags. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And he's like, I've got mine. He's like, it's Sense. And I always used to call him Sensei as a joke, because like he was like my sensei, because he was like teaching me. But he's like, nah, man, it's Sense, it's Sense. I'm like, nah, it's Sensei. It sounds way more sick. Yeah. Anyway, the story behind how I came up with Ingo, for those that don't know, if you are big into your like Nintendo, specifically like Legend of Zelda lore, there's a character in Zelda called Ingo the Farmer. And one day I'm thumbing through the Zelda Ocarina of Time N64 manual. Yeah. And it's got all the characters in the back. And I see this Ingo guy. I'm like, that's it. That's my name. That's me. I'm Ingo the Farmer. Yeah. I'm growing weed. Like, that's it. Oh,
man.
It.
Theme loves Zelda, man. It's his favorite game. You can't pry him off of Zelda, man. He's just addicted to that game.
Well, there you go. So
I'm kidding.
But yeah, Ingo the Farmer. That's where the name came from. And I'm not the most creative, imaginative person. Like, I can go off something. And so I guess in that sense, it's like I needed to see some word or some name. And that's what I went off.
You know, it's good. And to think of a name, because I don't know any other Ingo, man. I'm sure there has maybe been. Well,
there's a German Ingo, and he's like some mad train rider. And he's like, hard. And someone showed me some of his shit, and I'm like, oh, damn. Because I thought it was so unique. It's not that. It's actually, it's a German name, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Shit. Yeah. You should go to Germany and batter him.
Go there. Well, we'll set it up. No, I'm kidding.
You know.
Okay, so now, you're in London. Were you studying at the time here, or were you working? Were you still high into drugs and shit, or like what?
I was. So when I got properly into graph, this is like right about the time of the pandemic, and I was bad into drugs. And there was a mate of mine, and he introduced me to another guy who was a writer. And I'm not going to drop names because
no.
I do it. But he's like, yo, I think you should meet my friend. You know, he does graffiti, and I know you used to be into that. And I was like, all right, cool. I met the guy, and he's like, yo, you know, I showed him some old like black books, like some sketchbooks. And he's like, yeah, this is sick. He's like, would you ever do it? And I was like, yeah. And they're thinking, like, listen, we need to get this guy out the house. He's sitting indoors smoking all these drugs. He's a mess. Let's get him on graph. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, focus you on something else. Yeah, something.
Big mistake. Yeah. Big fucking mistake. But no. You know what? In a lot of ways, it's the best thing that ever happened, because what ended up happening is I got a couple of tins, went out with them, went out, caught some reaches. It's lockdown. It's prime time.
Yeah, dead in the streets. Yeah,
absolutely. And so that was like my formative years, like getting into it.
And you was bombing a lot, like, you know, it wasn't like you were going legals painting nice pieces. Well, I know you did.
It was a first. I was doing that as well, but it all happened simultaneously because I'm an addict.
He's on the streets taking drugs and going for looking for drugs and everything that comes with
taking your paint with you,
getting reaches.
That there's that part of it. There's, but it's like as soon as I got that taste, because like, so there's the 15 year old me who was, you know, doing them little sketches with my mate Sensei, but it's Sense, not Sensei.
Yeah.
We're doing our little sketches or whatever. But I never went out and got up, but I always wanted to. Mm. And then fast forward to like 2018, 2019, and I'm getting to do that and relive that part of me that never got to do it.
Mm.
Like, this is the one. This is the drug for me.
Yeah.
and we're off. So yeah, I was painting legal.
Which, can I ask a quick question? Which drug was the most helpful for doing your graph? Cocaine or something, like to keep you up to do it? Or...
Cocaine always made me too paranoid.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
Like whenever I got cocaine, I wanted to go cook it into crack so I could smoke crack.
All right, fair
that
enough.
That was not a very functional one for me. Yeah. For me, it was like benzos, like Valium, like and alcohol as well. Anything makes you disinhibited.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take a couple Valium, a couple Xanax, drink a couple whatevers, go out and not give a fuck.
Yeah. Okay.
That was what was the most helpful.
Yeah.
But I already kind of didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And so,
okay. So you're head first now. You're bombing, you're tagging a lot. I was seeing your tags a lot. I you'd have to say where you live, but there were certain areas where I would see, you couldn't go without seeing Ingo about. Not so much around West, but still. There was.
I'm in Northwest.
Okay, well, there we go. And but yeah, so you was out there, then Keller gets involved, you know. So you go
Keller
to the
grasses, days later.
Make this clear. Unless Ingo says it's different, Keller's got nothing to do with you getting that, right? Yeah.
No, okay, of course good. Not. You fucking.
This is online, man. This is the internet. You know, people ask.
People like, I told you not to do that podcast.
Yeah, I told you
not to do it. And then you got raided 5 days later. I'm like, listen, as it happens. The first piece, not the first piece of illegal graft, but the first piece of graft that I did that was on like station property, or like it wasn't a track site. I like went and graft up. What station was it? It's like Totteridge and Whetstone Station. I just went and fucking just done a bunch of tags on a mad one in the middle of the night. Just fucking tagged it up. That was the first piece of evidence they showed me. And that was like 2019. So from day one, they had their little file on Ingo.
Yeah.
So I was probably bait faced. There was no CCTV, but like that was the first bit of evidence.
I mean, what were you doing to avoid capture? Or were you not even thinking about shit like that? You were just like, whatever.
I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, okay.
Doing nothing.
Can you confirm that they've actually got like a little fucking book document on you?
Oh,
or is it all in? It's all in laptops. No. Like, what are they?
We'll get to that point. I think. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get.
Start with the raiding. Okay. So you know you.
Okay. Well, it leads into that. So they come to my door. I get, and this is the mad one. There's a lot of like mystery around like how it happened, where certain things came from. Because I got shown stuff that to this day I don't know where it came from. But anyway, so I get a knock on the door. It's like a Monday morning, and bear in mind, I should have been at work that day. I'm in full-time employment. Mm. The night before, my boss called me and was like, listen, we're taking the day off on Monday. No one's coming in. Da, 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 da. I'm like, sweet. Sick.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping late. Because otherwise, I would have been out the door at 5 a.m. Mm. 5:30 a.m., I get a knock. And it more of a bang than a knock. You know, British Transport Police, open the door. Cool. Open the door. There's like 9 feds there. And the first thing I noticed, they're holding like a little document, like a bundle of documents, like, you know, stapled together or whatever. And on the top, I see Ingo, I-N-G-O, I-N-G-O-H. And then underneath it says my name. Mm. And then under that is my address. So I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, okay. And they're like, listen, you know, I can't remember the whole speech. You know, you're under arrest for suspicion of criminal damage by way of graffiti. Da, 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 da. We're coming in to search your property. Are there anything we need to know about? They hit me with, and I'm like, I've just woken up. So I'm not thinking anything other than, shit, my time's come. Like, in a lot of ways, like I was kind of expecting it. Wasn't expecting it then and there, but like in hindsight, actually there was a couple of clues. But anyway, in they come.
What kind of clues, if you don't mind? Have you ever been stopped and searched or anything like that before?
Listen, I've been given fucking citations and shit for criminal damage and whatever, but nothing that ever went anywhere. A couple fines, a couple this, that.
All right, but they knew your name already. Sure.
And
so they could associate your name with the word that you wrote.
Not necessarily. No, they Maybe they did, but the I'm talking the Met police. Like I get busted doing a throw up in like Shoreditch, and they didn't ask what I was writing. They just knew that I'm spray painting something that I shouldn't be, and they gave me a £50 fine. They didn't ask about my name. They didn't ask about anything, like graph name, that is. But no, this was British Transport Police that raided me. So I knew straight away this is trains, tracksides, station property. It's not Met. And like, because I was doing, you know, that bit, but I was also doing shit on the street. And I knew enough to know from, you know, people that came before me and had told me what to expect. I was like, if it's British Transport Police, it's going to be about a very specific kind of offense. The first thing they wanted when they come on the door, they're like, okay, where is your, do you have internet? And I was like, yeah. Where's your wireless, where's your modem? Where's your router?
Oh, shit.
Like, it's in the back of the room. What's the password? I was like, oh, fuck if I know. It's probably on the back. And that immediately clued me up to like, okay, so this, maybe it's social media. They're going to want digital stuff. So they see.
But they're going right for the router straight away. They can like get all your history and shit by the sound of it.
So subsequently, they told me that they had, and this could be bullshit, this could be the truth, I don't know. But they're like, we had set, when we analyzed your internet router and your IP address, we found 700 hits against the Instagram account that we knew to be associated with Ingo and your IP address of your cool, whatever. They would have found that out anyway. But more importantly, they seized every bit of technology that I had, from my laptop to my Xbox to my memory cards to old burner phones that hadn't worked in 15 years, anything with a USB plug or a power cable on it, they seized it.
Damn.
Everything.
We got a little photo here as well. Oh, yeah, yeah. Us. Like there's this, these are the bits, but this is when you got it back. Yeah, this
That's when I got it back. But that is, I mean, those are like hard drives. That was absolutely a no. And at the time I was working for a company that did house clearances. So I was finding like old phones, old iPads, old computers, and I'd rip parts out. I'd sell stuff, like, you know, but none of that.
Just to make you look extra bait.
Mate, they thought I was running county lines.
Yeah.
They tried to charge me with all these possessions with intent to distribute and like all this stolen property stuff. And it was madness. And I'm like, listen, I was like, you guys are, you focus on, you're the B division, BTP graffiti squad. Focus on that. I am not a county lines drug dealer.
Yeah.
Like they found drugs. I got a possession of class Bs. They missed something. I won't say what it was, but it wasn't a class B, but they missed it. But they did get the class B. It's like a couple bags of weed. Cool. They wanted, all they were interested in was my digital devices and any sketchbooks. They didn't take any paint. They didn't take the maps that were up on my walls. They didn't take anything that anyone else had done. And also, and this is another weird one, I had a big bottle. I just ordered a bunch of glass etch from like fucking Holland or the Netherlands or something like that. This is the best shit. And I just ordered a fat bottle of it. And it's sitting on my desk and it's labeled glass etch. Oh, they didn't take it.
They missed it. Yeah.
Take any paint? They didn't take.
Oh, that's weird to me. And what about clothing? What about clothing with ink stains on it or paint on
nothing.
It? Nah, nothing. Okay.
Any sketches?
Yeah, sketchbooks.
They took every single high viz that I owned.
Oh.
Including my company high viz, and I had a TFL one, and I had like an Arriva bus high viz, like shit that I'd found that I had for like jokes and I would sometimes wear for work because I needed a high viz. But like, they took every high viz, they took all my digital shit, and then anything with sketches that I had done. They must have known that all the shit, I mean, if I could turn my camera around, I would. Like, I've, the same maps are on my wall now that were on the wall then that were clearly not done by me.
They're just not interested in that. They want the digital thing. So now that's the focus. I mean, like I've mentioned a couple of times, I got raided back in the 90s. before the digital era, where they were just trying to get, like, you know, clothes with paint, trainers. Even my homework course book had like a couple tags in it. They took that. They took the cupboard of my door off because I'd test my paint on it. They took everything that had paint on it, basically. And but now that it's like, yeah, they don't give a well, again, this is speculation, but it seems like, yeah, they don't really care about the physical things.
They just want to know about the router,
the digital footprint.
In my mind, they knew they had my Instagram. Mm. They knew that whatever was on that Instagram was on there. They knew that I had photo evidence. And also, bear in mind, and this is the people gave me so much shit for this and told me that I'm lying, that I can't. So I had a brand new iPhone 13 Pro at the time. It just come out. I bought it 2 weeks before. That was the phone I was using, and that's what they seized. That had all my photos on it.
Mm.
Oh no, there's no way they can get. They showed me photos that only existed on that phone. They cracked it. They did. I didn't give them a PIN number.
They didn't need your facial. Was it on facial recognition? No, the phone.
The shit was switched off. Okay. They and you can't just hold up someone's picture of their face and unlock their phone.
No, of course. Yeah.
But they can get into whatever device they want to get into. I can't remember what it's called, but I did some digging, and there's a device. It's basically this box that you plug into a phone, and it brute forces the password. And it whatever the encryption is, it will break it.
Mm.
They can see who you've been talking to on Signal as well.
Oh, they can. Of course they can. They can fucking see everything. But
not necessarily the message, but who you've been, the phone number of the person you've been contacting.
But they showed me shit that I did not give them any way to have access to. So whether they backdoored it, whether Apple gave it to them, whether they use some mad hacking device, I don't know. But another part of it is, so winding back a bit, in around like 2020 to 2020 to late 2021, I was seeing this girl lived up in Leeds, and I did a bunch of shit, graph shit up in Leeds, up in like the middle of fucking nowhere where you don't want to be doing shit because they will come for you. And I always suspected that maybe, because one of the bits of evidence they showed me was a video of me tagging up the inside of a TransPennine Express. And I was doing it in stealthing. And me thinking I'm Mr. Smart, they're showing me this video and I'm fucking right doing all my tags and everything. And it's like, and they pause it. They're like, oh, what's it look like you're doing? Well, it looks like I'm tagging up the train, but there's nothing there. And then they click to the next image when the ink's exposed. And obviously it says Ingo, whatever everywhere. And I'm like, oh, panic.
Actually, can I ask as well, because I want to go step by step. So they come in, they took all the, went straight for the router, took anything with a USB connection to, they took it, as we can see in the photo. They gathered all this stuff up, did they handcuff you and stuff, or it wasn't that deep? Like, because they didn't handcuff me, if I remember.
Well, it did get a bit deeper, because one of the things they asked when they were searching me, they're like, oh, do you have any firearms or any ammunition or anything? And I was like, whoa. I got these old bullets over here that I found on a job site recently. And they're like,
okay, no, that was the wrong thing to say.
Well, but they were on my shelf.
Yeah, they found
right
it
there. Anyway, turns out they were live. Oh, I didn't know this, but so the firearms squad came out.
Oh, shit.
So I ended up catching a charge for possession of ammunition.
Fuck's sake.
So it wasn't looking good. It was not looking good for me. But anyway, they were like, this has been compliant. You've not tried to run out the door.
Yeah.
Walk you into the van and we're going to take you. I thought they were going to take me to BTP HQ. They actually only took me down the road to the local police station, which is where they conducted the initial interview.
Mm.
Yeah, go on.
Did you get a solicitor?
Well, because I was like, I need to buy time.
Yeah.
So, I want a duty solicitor.
Good.
And so the first thing I do, I was like, what evidence do they have? And he's like, oh, well, they've got CCTV. They've got some pictures. I don't really know what it is. I was like, okay, the CCTV. Is it me? And he looks me dead in the eye. He's like, brother, it's you. Yeah. And I was like, cool. So
thing is, as well, with these guys that come that they provide for free, a lot of the times, obviously they do their best to let you know what your rights are and your rights aren't, but ultimately they want to make it easier for the police as well. Like, a lot of them are like that. So you've got to be still up on your game. Don't think, oh, I got a solicitor, everything's cool. You still should know what your rights are and aren't, because don't let these solicitors, you know, get you or saying shit that you shouldn't be, you know? Sorry, just a little thing there.
So I'll qualify what I'm about to say by saying this, like, don't necessarily do what I did.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But, well, I'm thinking 1,000 miles an hour. I'm thinking, right, they've got evidence. They've come and they've raided me.
Mm.
They know it's me. I know that there's a 20% sentence reduction if I admit to, and at first they only showed me 10 things. They showed me 10 bits of evidence. It's never just 10 things.
No.
Always going to be more. But I was like, you know what? The one thing I'm not going to do is bring any other names into any of this.
Of course, yeah.
So I'm going to admit to what they show me. I'm going to say, yep, that's me, because they're going to prove it's me.
I was about to say, it's not about what the police know. It's about what they can prove at the end of the day. And they had enough there by the looks of it.
They were going to fucking prove it. Anyone who saw my Instagram knew they were going to prove it.
I was about to say, did they use any of that as evidence from the Instagram, like from your stories, like that are only supposed to be 24 hours, but they still archive on your phone, on the Instagram?
They didn't need to. They showed me stuff, and I admitted to everything. I admitted to all the things that I felt I had no way to be able to argue wasn't me. There were things that I didn't admit to that were not me, but there were things that, and I put my hands up, I admitted to things that were not me, that but it had my name in it, and because it kept the conversation short and sweet. And
including the alligator teat.
What?
The bullets.
What about them?
Did you admit to that?
I told
them. Yeah, they're mine.
Yeah, they were in my house. Like the UK, like if you're in possession of them, you can't be like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't. But like ignorance isn't a defense. Like,
Did they bring that up a lot? Like you've got fucking arms in your house.
Nah, because they proved straight away where they came from. I found them digging through this old boy's, you know, fucking shed that we were tearing down when I was doing a house clearance. I found a big box of like 59 millimeter rounds, and on my camera is pictures of those bullets, and then of me holding them, and the same ones, like they knew where they came from.
And also like in front of a judge, if they can put as much shit down for the judge to read out, oh, he had bullets in his house, oh, he had bags of weed in there, and he had this and this, and like the more they can add onto it, the heavier it's going to weigh against you, even if it is just a bullshit thing, like something you found out of fucking...
But you know what? They didn't do that, because they actually, like, they charged me with like 8 or 9 different offences. In the end, the only thing that I was charged for was like 31 counts of criminal damage, possession of ammunition without a certificate, and possession of Class Bs. All the other shit, possession of stolen property, theft by finding, theft by finding, fraud, this, that, all went away.
Yeah.
And my sentencing had nothing to do with the ammunition, because they knew where it came from. They knew I had no malintent. They knew that I'd made a dumb error in judgment by taking them. What the fuck? I didn't try and sell them.
And they had plenty against you anyway of other stuff that they were more focused on, you know what I mean? Yeah, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
That's deep, man. And did they put a number on it, like a monetary number? Yeah. You've done 500,000. They love doing that. What was the number for you?
Okay. I didn't have enough time to dig out all the paperwork and look it up. So each one of the offenses that I only had one offense that was criminal damage by way of graffiti that was priced at over $5,000. Everything else was $5,000 or under.
Uh-huh.
How under $5,000 it was is anyone's fucking discretion. So like, for instance, I'd done one pen tag on a pillar on a station, like on paint.
Mm.
And they said that cost $3,000 to repair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what they're like. Yeah.
But then they also said that one glass etch on a train window was like £4,973. Mm. Only thing that was more expensive than $5,000, I think, was the panel.
It would have been
one the panel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was it. But it, however much it was. It was like round, let's say round about 100,000. Like it wasn't much. I mean, well, it wasn't that much. Like the money that they say it was is mad. And also another thing is like they stood up in court, them BTP lawyers or whatever, and said, we have paid out this money to clean this graph. Mate, the graph is there today. To this day, I can go on the train.
It's still there.
The shit that I've been charged for. And like.
They never cleaned it. Yeah, yeah. It's some bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
I've been fined. And like, I guess we'll get into like the whole court and the sentencing thing. Like, just fast forwarding again, like,
because for us, like, I had like 6 charges against me, and my mate who I was on trial with had 12 against him. And each charge had to have its own court date, or where you, it wasn't like that.
All done in one, but it was each its own separate offense.
Yeah.
And when they come to doing the fine, technically it was its own fine, and then they gave me a cumulative fine that was supposed to address all of it, and but it's like, and so as part of my job that I do now, like I'm subject to a DBS check on an enhanced level, so all that shit's coming up, and so my employer knows. I had to go before a panel and talk about why I have 31 criminal damage charges and a possession of ammunition charge.
They thought you were a Rambo.
Explain that shit to them.
I go for a new job, bro. And he's talking about fucking bullets.
I've had to do it 3 times. But you know what?
No, like, they were just on the shelf, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, what?
That's it. That's it. And you know what? Like, but when you've got the photos that show, I found a box with some bullets. Here they are in the box. Here they are cleaned up. Here they are on my shelf. And here they are in police evidence. You know, it kind of tells the story.
So, yeah, yeah. So 30 what accounts?
So 31 counts of criminal damage.
31 counts of criminal damage. One of ammunition without a license. And one of the counts of 31 was the actual panel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The rest was a mixture of glass etches.
Stuff on the station.
All our track sides as well. Like a good 4 or 5 of them were track sides. Some were glass etches on the station. Some were glass etches on trains. Some were scratchies.
Was the main bit of evidence photos that you had taken, or was it like pictures like back in the layup where they were taking pictures of it and stuff like that?
They had both.
Oh, they had both. Okay, cool.
I provided it for them.
Yeah.
They had fucking.
What was the proof that you did the panel? Just the photo of the panel? Or like CCTV and shit like that?
And the name?
Well, I fucking admitted to it because...
Where did it get done?
What did he say?
Where did it get done? What yard?
That I'm not going to talk about. I needed that conversation to be very short and sweet for everyone's sake. And so the thing I could do was say, yep, I done both of those. Even though that's not what I usually write, but that is, but I did both and I was there myself and that's that.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. You took the charge.
So I kept it like that.
Like they were piling on the evidence digitally and physically, attaching you to the name Ingo. And
they knew it was me. I had that first initial interview on the day, then like, 8 months later, I had another interview, then another interview, and every time they brought more evidence. And
that's me.
And as time went on, I'm just like, listen, if I could like logically say that would like deny that was me, I would deny it. But for the rest of it, I'm like, what's the difference? It's already at like 20 charges. What's another fucking?
Yeah.
So did you get nicked and go back to the station after the raid of your yard?
Yeah, you said they took him to the local one. And
how long did you have to stay in there?
I was only in there for like 4 hours, 5 hours. They got what they needed out of me and they sent me on my way. Mm. And that was that. I went back to work the next day.
Then you got the court date, and then that was like what?
A year and a half later.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah,
that's the thing. So, it was a year and a half between getting nicked and actually going to court.
And they had all your stuff still that the whole year and a half. They had your phone, your laptop, all this stuff they'd seized.
They had it longer than that. They had it like a year after I had been to court.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So,
yeah.
I didn't get that shit back until like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Damn. And they lost one of my MacBooks.
So, oh, shit.
Yeah. So, but it is what it is. I was just happy to get the shit back. Yep, it is what it is.
No, of course. All right. So, in the trial, was there any surprises, or was it just like recapping what you'd already been through on in the interview and stuff?
I pled guilty on every count.
Yeah.
Because that's another 30% sentence reduction. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm pleading guilty. I've already told them this is me. I pled guilty. Da 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 da. When it came to sentencing,
were they at any point threatening you with jail? At any point, to try and get you to confess. Or
and
something
what about
like that.
The what about the drugs that they found?
It was just weed.
A couple bags of weed.
Did they do intent to supply and shit like that?
They tried to at first, but I was like, mate, I was like, just because I have a scale and some used baggies and like there's two bags of weed here, I was like, you've been following me, ascent. You're acting like you know my whole life, so you know. Mm. I ain't selling drugs. I got no money. I ain't selling drugs. I'm smoking all the drugs. Like, nothing is getting sold.
It's personal use. Okay.
Nothing is getting sold, bro.
Nothing is getting sold.
It's getting boofed, bro. Have you ever boofed anything? No, I can't say nothing.
No, I've boofed any substance that can be boofed. I've boofed it.
Oh, my days.
Oh, listen, I work in something that's known as harm reduction. Harm reduction is basically reducing the harm to drug users done through using drugs. Pooping is a really safe way of using drugs.
Okay,
so putting shit up your nose or sticking shit in your vein, try putting it up the back side. You may add some years onto your life. Anyway, I digress.
Words of wisdom there from Elon.
But, so in the end, I got charged with the 31 counts or whatever. My sentence and at the time my solicitor was preparing me to go to jail. They're probably gonna want to send you to jail for some period of time, whether it's 6 months or a year or what, I can't tell you.
Was it magistrates or Crown Court?
No, it was magistrates.
Okay.
Because I pled guilty and because it didn't need to go before a jury, they could keep it in magistrates, which in theory should make it a better outcome, but actually, as I learned, is
depends on the judge, I think. Yeah, because again, just to explain, because I mean, I'm not an expert, but magistrates, it's just the judge. There's no jury, like you just said. The Crown Court, that's when they bring the jury in, and there's one above Crown Court, right?
No, magistrates, they've got the magistrates there. Okay, there's not a judge.
Yeah, so
that's the point of the magistrate.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, there is.
But also, the magistrates are capped, or supposedly they're capped. How much they can fine you. It should be $5,000.
Oh, wow.
When
you told me how much you got fined, bruv, I never heard that, man. Oh, well, especially in England.
So my sentence in the end was 2 years probation, 3-year criminal behavior order that prevents me obviously carrying cans, pens, anything I can use to mark a surface, acid etch, whatever. I can't associate with people who do graph, can't associate with anyone causing criminal damage. I can't encourage criminal damage, and so I don't. And
you can't go on the almshouse.
Well, none of this is me encouraging it. This is I'm fucking discouraging it.
Yeah, this is the consequences, people. We're not glorifying this in the slightest, man. This is like it was a fucking stress to go through, right?
People told me not to do what I was doing, and I didn't listen.
Yeah.
They told me to do it differently and I didn't listen.
There we go.
So the 3-year criminal behavior order, 2 years probation. I think it was like 350 hours of community service on paperwork, whatever. I had to go to like fucking, you know, had to do probation, all that shit. Now this is the icing on the cake. At the time, I was no longer employed because I'd lost my job. I descended deeper into my fucking drug use. I was a mess. And unfortunately, I went to court in like, we would have been like December 2023. In like January 2023, I went and got help for my drug issues, as I had done many times before, but with a bit more kind of impetus to actually do something about it. Mm-hmm. So when, by the time I went to court, I was clean from drugs. And I could say, listen, I'm 6-7 months sober. I've not touched drugs or alcohol since. Da 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 da. Anyway, they know I don't have a job. They know I'm on benefits. They're like, so we know that you can't pay back this £100,000 or whatever. So we're only going to fine you £20,000.
£20,000, man.
£20,000. So I have a 20,000. I've still got like another... 11 months on the criminal behavior order, which doesn't mean I'm going to go out going mad as soon as it's spent, but like, I'm going to be paying this fine off for the next 40 something years of my life.
Jesus. Yeah.
And also I can't appeal it. Like, you can't appeal a fine. You have to appeal the whole case.
Jesus.
You can't fucking appeal that.
So
anyway, That day, the judge and the first magistrate I was in front of, he's like, well, how can we find this guy? He's got no money. What are we going to take from him? He's got nothing. He weren't the magistrate I had sitting the week later when I was back for sentencing. It was a different one. And she's like, £20,000.
Jesus.
Done. So, yeah.
Did you set up a thing now where you just pay 20p a week or something like that? Like
20p?
No, I'm just kidding. But like,
I'm paying an amount every month.
Yeah.
And they told me I could have paid less, but I'm like, listen, I'm not going to die with this fine still hanging over my head. I know it sounds fucking cliche. Like, I want my debt to society paid, you know, I don't want, like, cause it affects your credit. It affects a lot of shit.
Oh, is there interest on it as well?
No, but
because I'd be tempted to be like, "Fuck you! I'm gonna die, and I'm gonna pay the lowest amount, so I owe the maximum when I clock out."
But then, when you go to work and you earn a wage, they can then garnish your salary, and they can decide that actually, because you're earning X amount,
they can deduct it.
Exactly.
Because they're HMRC, aren't they? They're the government.
Yeah. So I'm paying my shit because I have to, but also because, you know, off the back of this, like, and I mentioned the drug thing because it's kind of relevant. Like, I'd been in and out of rehab and, you know, detoxes and shit most of my adult life. I had never given it a serious try. Never taken it seriously. But like today, actually not today, on the 20th, on February 20th, I'll be sober from drugs and alcohol for 3 years, which is the longest since like age 16 that I've been sober for continuously. But not also that, on top of that, is like when I was going to this clinic to, you know, people know about like methadone and buprenorphine. I was getting my replacement for the heroin that I was addicted to. Once I got off of that, they asked if I wanted to like maybe become like a peer mentor and like, you know, maybe help some other people. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I did.
Like a sponsor type thing or?
Sort of.
A bit more than that. Like,
can I just ask, what is that shit like that they give to people who are on heroin? Is it like properly like heroin, or is it?
No, it's not properly like it. It's in the same family, but so the thing with heroin is it's very strong and it's very short acting, which means it's very euphoric.
Yeah.
Methadone is very strong but really long acting, so it's not euphoric at all, but it fucks you up. So what it does is it replaces the need for that hit of heroin. But it doesn't give you, okay, if you or I took it with no tolerance, you get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But to someone who's tolerant to it, it's just going to feel like they feel normal. Maybe a little bit sedated, whatever. But it's a drug, no less. Like, people abuse it. People get high off it. But the way it works is very different to heroin. But it's considered a substitute. but it's not a true substitute. No, a true substitute would be like back in the 70s, where if you were a heroin addict, they prescribed you heroin. And I'm not going to get into the politics of that, because that's my what I do for a living, and I have a lot of strong views about it.
What do? They taper off, yes, like bring it down?
They wean you off it. But another point I was going to just say, adding on to what you just said about heroin and methadone, like heroin, when you're getting it from the street, it could be cut with anything. It could be dirty. You're sharing the needle, blah, blah, blah. Then when you're on the methadone, obviously everything is done in a precise, clean way. So that's another big difference between the
statistically,
two.
Statistically, and I know I'm getting it wrong, but I think statistically, you are 50% less likely to overdose from heroin, even if you're still using heroin, if you're also taking methadone. Because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to replace the heroin with the methadone and stop taking the heroin. A lot of people do both, because why wouldn't you double up? But if you're on both, you're still statistically less likely to overdose and die from either. So it is remarkably safe, and it has been used for years. Listen, there's better alternatives and there's better ways, but yeah, on one hand, either you get on it, you stabilize, you reduce, you come off of it, or you stay on it forever. Because
and what's that like mentally when you're like, shit, next week I'm going in for 0.5 milligrams, that's the least I've ever taken in my life, can I hack it?
It's tough. Some people find it impossible. For me, it's like, because I had got myself on and off of drugs so many times, I knew how the process worked. I'd been on opiate replacement therapy before. I knew what the medications were. And also, I stayed a step ahead of the clinic. Like, the clinic would typically, you know, call you in for a review, say, okay, we're going to reduce your dose. I would have already have done that a month earlier, because they're not going to be in control of my life. I'm going to be in control. So I'm just going to take one milligram less a day, so that when they do drop it,
I'm all right.
Yeah, that was my way of dealing with it. Everyone's different. But yeah, it's, you know, like when you're addicted to something like that, it's not about the getting high and feeling good. It's like, you need that to function at a basic human level. Then once you've got that, then you can worry about getting high. So most people, they're in that chase to just feel normal. And what that substitute does.
Theme said the same shit about weed, man, when we did the 420 episode. You were saying how you needed to smoke a zoot just to feel normal. Then you start getting high off the weed.
Yeah, like that. The morning zoot didn't really count, did it? It was like,
you know what? But that's the way the mind works. Like, and over time, like this, the damage that I've done to myself from drugs is, well, it's not immeasurable. It's very measurable, but like it does affect you. And like, you know, and let's say just like specifically like mentally, like the mental effect it had on me is like, it took a long time for me to normalize, even after all the drugs were out of my system, because your body chemistry has to figure out what the fuck it's doing.
Yeah.
So until such time as you get to that point, it's like, you need something to maintain yourself. Which is why people call it like self-medication, because
of course,
you're self-medicating. You're and normally it's dealing with some. You know, I got mad ADHD. I've got OCD. I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and you know, possibly autism. And like, I didn't know for years that I was just using drugs to fucking
mask myself out. All those things. But, yeah.
So. Yeah. So, okay, so just going back to the story, so you kind of use this whole leading up to the trial and then to get yourself sober so that, you know, hopefully when the sentencing came, they could see you were working on your life and all this stuff. And then that, in a way, after the sentencing and that brutal fucking fine, man, we're like, it's crazy, man, 20 grand, fuck sakes. And then, So now through your rehab, they you know, moved you up a step to then mentor or sponsor other people, like in a way like that. And then you built a career in that field.
Long story short, yeah. And it's not like they moved me up a step. It's like I volunteered to do it. And then I volunteered to doing it like from like an unofficial level to like, no, I'm an official volunteer. I'm part of the organization, but I'm unpaid. done. I mean, the amount of, I basically got a free education through volunteering. And then it was a little over around about a year and a half ago that I applied for a full-time position, like as a key worker, working with people who are getting off heroin. And from there, other opportunities came up. I'm still with the same organization, but I won't go into to what the role is, but I'm in a senior position within
It's amazing.
My area of the organization that, like, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, would I ever be able to do that? The answer would have been no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, could I ever be able to do that? Probably not. Like, you know, I worked hard, but I'm also really fortunate that I had the opportunities that
yeah.
I had.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, your fucking experience as well. Hey. At the interview, drugs, mate, completed it.
I was one of the trainings that I was on back in the early days when I was doing volunteer, and they did this as like a joke thing. They're like, okay, to test your knowledge of drugs, here's, you know, all the letters of the alphabet, see how many letters of the alphabet you can name a drug for. I am the only person to ever be able to successfully list a drug for every single letter of alphabet. And if that is a claim to fame, that...
And it's also because now you're helping others get off of, through their addictions. Is that part of your healing as well, helping others get off that thing? I mean, I know you're still professional and you're doing a job and everything like that, but I assume so.
It's part of it. But like, and so when I first started, my first professional role was like, that was essentially what I... Because there's the way like these treatment services work is like you don't sign a document that's like, I will get off drugs. So they're very person-centered, you know, we call it being trauma-informed, where it's like if someone's choosing to use heroin for the rest of their life, it's not our place to tell them that you're doing something wrong. That's your choice, even if we disagree and we think it's dumb. So, you know, it's a big gray area. Okay. But obviously we try and encourage people in a positive direction. But for me, what I really wanted to get into was working with people who they've not even thought about that they want to stop. I just want to help them make their lives a bit safer, a bit less chaotic. It's like I work around like distributing needles and training people how to inject properly, training professionals how to deal with the stigma around drug use. A lot of what I do is like delivering professional training to other professionals, to police, to probation. I had to go give a training seminar to like 75 probation officers, one of which was my probation officer, my former probation officer, about this very niche area of where kind of drugs and sex kind of intermingle. And it was like, yeah, anyway, it was like the maddest. Yeah.
One sec. Sorry, I got to close my window, man. It started raining, man.
Oh, it's all good.
Sounded like you're about to get into sex, drugs, and rock and roll there.
Well, basically, there's this thing, and I won't go all into it. You wouldn't have heard of it unless you're in certain circles. It's called chemsex. And it's basically like predominantly, and I use this term, I use it in the with intention. It's like men who have sex with men, not necessarily gay men, but men who have sex with men who attend these chill outs or certain parties where you go and you have sex and you use certain drugs.
And Amber goes there on a Friday night.
I mean, I didn't want to tell everyone.
Hey, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. These things can go on for days.
They go on for days. Yeah.
But I was delivering training around that niche area because it's kind of this emerging thing, and like probation need to know about it because maybe they've got clients who are engaged in it and they need to know how to like risk assess it. And anyway, It just so mate, happened.
I had to do it the other day just to get a paracetamol, bruv. You know what I mean? Like, sorry. I'm making a joke. It's not a serious shit, man. And I commend you, brother. Because, look, I don't want to go too far over an hour, man, because that's deep. I love this story. And I'm glad there's like a kind of a happy ending, even though you've still got
a mad happy ending.
Yeah, exactly.
We could do a part two because I've got fucking questions I mean, in my head about the electric shit.
Yeah.
All of that shit is bollocks. About they can't get in your phone, they can't get in your laptop.
Of course they can. Yeah. Of course they
can. Did they match your phone's location to a yard or a particular platform or whatever?
Is there anything they want? Like, come on. We're not like, well, I consider myself not too dumb. Like, but like they can get into wherever they want. And if they can't, someone else can. And like there's always a backdoor, there's always a workaround. And then also, it's like, if you look at how like scammers operate, a lot of it is like social manipulation, getting you to do shit that you don't realize you're doing.
Yeah.
So and the police do the same shit. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know that I didn't give something to them that let them do what they did without doing it. I can't say that for sure. But in my heart of hearts, I know they got ways because they're the fucking police.
They do, but they still have to work within the law, even though obviously sometimes they might work outside the law to try and find evidence. And then when they get it, they'll make it fit the law. Like, you know, there's dirty tactics that they can use to do it. And like you said, depending on the crime, because the thing is, graffiti, criminal damage, it's not the highest thing up on the list of like worst crimes. Obviously, like up at the top, you'd think of things like terrorism or, you know, like really serious crimes where they will throw the book and there is no laws when it comes to stopping those types of crimes. You know what I'm saying? They will go outside of anything. But I can imagine with something like criminal damage, you know what I mean? Like, they could, but there's privacy laws and there's other laws that they can't break. While they trying to nick
whatever,
you.
They do whatever the fuck they want. And at the end of the day, like, the way I look at it, or the way I justify it in my mind, is like, we're talking about shit that has cost somebody money.
When
it comes down to money fucking rules over everything.
Money gets people pissed off.
But I've seen cases thrown out because they didn't read them. They forgot to read the guy their rights, even though they've literally caught him with a knife with blood on it. You know what I mean? They've got all the evidence they need to convict him. But because they didn't read him his rights, or they did a silly mistake, the police did, in the interview, for example, they coerced him too hardly. Or
you know what? That wasn't the mistake. The mistake was they didn't cover that part up before.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't cover it up. Or if you get a really good lawyer, that sometimes they can find those mistakes the police do and get a whole thing from. I'm just saying that it's not like it's lawless. The police still have guidelines they have to work within. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, of course they're going to use dirty tactics and stuff. But so you should always be ready and prepared and you know, aware of that at least. But, you know, with criminal damage, I mean, and sometimes the police, they just want to get that conviction. Doesn't even matter really what the crime is. If they get that conviction, then that's a tick on their board of another crime solved and they can put it in the stats. And, you know, that's another big part of it.
And I'm sure they got a lot of delight out of, like, listen, I'm nobody when it comes to the graph scene. Like, but they surely got a delight out of making a real example out of me. Because they knew that I'm broadcasting my shit to everyone. I've just done the podcast, and they're like, this dumbass, we're going to fucking nail him. We're going to, like, it's that they got what they wanted.
Yeah. Did they get you in any, were you in any papers or anything like that? In the local paper? No, nothing like that. Okay. So they didn't make an example like that because they didn't.
When did they?
I wish I did. That would be something to fucking put on my wall.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
When they arrested you and you said you waited for about a year to go to court.
Year and a half. Yeah.
What was you doing in that time? Just working, spending your money on drugs and.
Basically, yeah. And at first I didn't stop writing, but I'll never forget it. A friend of mine didn't sit me down. It was over Instagram. And they're like, listen, you know, you've got a problem. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've just been fucking busted. And they're like, no. Your problem is you can't stop doing graph. You're addicted. And I was like, well, yeah, of course. It's sick. No. You need to go to AA for your graffiti. And I got so pissed off. I didn't talk to this person for about a year. because I was so insulted that, like, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm a drug addict. That's what I should go to AA for, not graph. Graph is the best thing in my life. But then it sank in. Actually, you know, the day to day, the thing I struggle the most with, it's not thinking about using drugs. It's thinking about catching a reach. I still to this day have to stop myself from grabbing a pen or a marker or a can and walking out the door with it. Because if it's in my pocket, I will use it. Now, I've experienced cravings and addiction to most substances known to man. There is no way you can, I can distinguish the two. It absolutely, for me, was 100% the same thing. I was addicted and I had to get clean from it. And if today I went out and caught a reach, I'd probably feel more guilty about it than if I went and used some drugs. Because there's a lot more resting on me not fucking up. The career I built for myself based off of the graph than the drugs, because it's understandable. Like, of course an addict is going to relapse, but like to sit and have to own up, like, yeah, I went and got a tag, I relapsed, like, that's fucking ridiculous.
And also, I assume as well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, your lifestyle has changed a lot since you went through all that and you were doing drugs and graphing heavy and doing all that stuff. Now it's like a world of difference, you know what I mean? So, and I'm assuming that helps with addiction, is getting out of a certain routine, changing your surroundings, changing your, you know, the friend groups and stuff like that can help with getting out of addictions, you know?
The saying goes, people, places, and things. You know, you got to change those three things, like, and like, or if you don't change them, that's going to lead you back into it. And so, yeah, I'll attend events. I'll rock up sometimes to certain places. I'll admit, like, I'm very careful about, like, if I know I'm going to go meet somebody and that they're probably going to be catching tags, I'll think twice about it, because there's no way I'm getting done for association on some bullshit. When I've got a year, less than a year left on that particular, you know, criminal behavior order.
Yeah, and you'd be throwing away everything you've worked and built towards, you know, and that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Because even now, some people listening be going, well, it's just catching a tag. Who gives a shit? But like, I can completely hear where you're coming from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't want to be going caught, like he just said, for association.
Exactly.
On some next fucking bollocks, some next man getting a reach.
No, because that will trigger me losing my job. And if I got struck off from my job, or I got, like, because I'm subject to an enhanced DBS, it's like anything that I do that is illegal or I get caught doing, it's like that could then prevent me from ever working within that industry ever again. Like, and it could be off some total bullshit. Any, like, it's not worth it. It's I was faced with a choice. Choose graph, choose this other life.
Choose life.
Yeah. and you know, like in train spotting, it's like, you know,
I'm just thinking that.
Yeah, choose life. But like, it's mad to hear graph being spoken about, like we're talking about drug addiction, you know what I mean? There's so many similarities, so many crossover, and I completely feel it, even though I'm not super active or anything. But when I was, it's like, you know, it was a big part of your life. It's like, and seeing it about everywhere, you know what I mean? When you leave your house, you can't miss seeing tags and stuff, and you're always same thinking chemical, about
the same chemicals in your head getting rid of the
chemical
same
dose, rush,
same, you know, serotonin. You're getting a rush, you're getting a high.
Yeah
You know, it's the exact same pathways in your brain. So if, like, if you're susceptible to that, graph's gonna lead you down the same path.
I mean, there are some people, like, it sounds like you have like a very addictive personality in general, so if you take something on, you're full steam ahead type shit, you know.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Listen, man, like, again, we could chat for another hour about this, man. I know. Maybe we'll get you back on as well, man. It's been lovely having you on and being so open and honest about it. Yeah. And as you said already, you're talking
such an honest man.
Yeah, and you're talking freely about it, and you've got your face here and chatting about it, because you don't, you know, you literally, you've paid for your sins, You know what I mean? You're clean on the books now, or paying still.
Talk I
know.
To me in 45 years.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, crime wise, you know, you've paid for all these sins. So now it's not like anyone can do you for what you've done. You've already been done and you don't do it anymore. You know what I mean? And you're not inciting it here for you guys. He's just telling you as it is and what your experience that you went through. You know what I'm saying? And I thank you again for coming on and telling us about
pleasure.
It.
Been a pleasure.
Let's do a couple of critiques, man. Let's go. Let me find one here. Someone sent in. Okay. This dude, he's been doing stuff on.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, he sent this in.
I think this guy is sick. Even 10 foot put something up about it. I think it's jokes.
Yeah. So it's 5'9", hollowed on a like a green piece of tarp that's up on a thing. Yeah. I mean, it's shit. I'm sorry, but obviously it's a pun on the word 10 foot, you know what I mean? So I get it. And, you know, the outline, you know, he's kind of taking the piss a little bit, but he's also tongue in cheek. And like you said, 10 foot already messaged and said,
he's AC.
Oh, yeah, there's an AC thing in the O. I didn't clock that.
Yeah.
But do you think he's purposely doing it shit on purpose?
No, I reckon that's to the best of his ability.
You reckon? All right, cool.
And I reckon he's trying to bite 10 foot a little bit.
For sure. He's trying to do the 10 foot.
Yeah,
it's like the 2009 10 foot, not his current. You know, you know what I mean? Like where he was a bit more bubbly and.
Yeah.
All right. There's not much else to say about this one. It is jokes though. Hilarious. A couple more. All right, let's check this guy out. I think this guy is from Sweden, if I'm not mistaken. It says Bleck, B-L-E. K, nice kind of bubbly style, dark purple outline, you know, beige and orange and yellows and pinks in the inside. He's got a little brick wall kind of scheme thing going on, little drips and 3D going off to the left, stars and blue and shit around the outside.
I think I like the throw up. I like the E on the throw up.
Oh, the throwy in the bottom left corner.
The classic scene, E.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that was him or someone went over it, but yeah, it does look cool.
That's his. But look in the actual film itself, like that looks a lot like scene, you know, American scene.
Yeah.
That
looks like his E with the elongated, like oval. That's the first thing that I thought of.
All right, yeah, no, fair enough. It's just quite simplistic though, but it's got some flares of style running through it. Yeah, so theme, what are you thinking, man?
I'm thinking, what is the... Oh no, I know you don't want to think about this, but I'm thinking about this. What is that bit? Is it a B in the throw-up before the E? It's got two hollow bits.
You know what? I think it's a B-L, not an E. I'm assuming if it is Bleck's throw-up, which I think it is.
What B is...
He's got two
what
holes
bit of the hollow bits is the B?
These.
Oh, it's a capital B.
Yeah, it looks like it's just kind of hinting at a capital B, and he's got two holes in it there. It's pretty, yeah.
I'm sorry, old boy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to move away from the actual piece.
Got a nice flow to it. Like, yeah. It's cool. It's unique.
I like it. Like, the K, he's got a lot more going on than the B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's kind of wild it out a little bit over the end with little flicks and kind of pointy bits and stuff.
I just wish he brought the middle bit of the B. I hate doing this. I'm doing this with my fingers, like you can see.
Yeah.
This the bit middle of the bit B, of the B in and then back out.
If that was tucked in. Yeah, again.
And the L, not so fat on the bit coming out the left of the left.
This bit.
And the E... Like Ingo said, I mean, that's bitten off. Everyone's bitten that E, though.
Yeah, everyone has, yeah.
Everyone's bitten that E. You can't complain. We can't complain.
If I remember, I think he is a bit of a train writer, and you can kind of see the Euro train writer styles running through it. You know what I mean? Like quick and simple, half kind of throwy kind of style, even though it's not a throwy, but the E, you know what I'm saying? Like kind of... Styles.
You didn't have to gun him like that, mate.
No, I mean, like quick and fast.
European
like
this guy, BRs,
You can see, like, even the fill, like, he's done it. It looks like most of it was done with a fat cap, and then he's just gone in with the
Yeah.
Exactly.
Out of 10,
what do you give it? I give it I'm not blown away, but it's better than average. I'm going to give it a 6.
5.
I was going to say 5 as well, which is not a bad thing at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, no.
10 is a fucking, you know, God level. But like,
yeah.
Who's one of your favorite writers, if you don't mind me asking? Just one of, I mean, not the
favorite. One of, like, London writers?
Style-wise, just style writer. It can be from anywhere.
I mean, I've always really loved Scene.
Okay. I mean, he's the godfather.
Like in the UK, and I know, I guess this, I'll probably get a bit of hate for, like, being a bit, like, cliche about, okay, so like, style-wise in the UK, like, I've always loved Diet. Always, just because you never see the same dub twice.
Salute Diet.
But
sure.
As far as like what I remember from my childhood before I moved to the States, I always remember seeing Zonk dubs.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
So that's always been just like that to me. It's got that like nostalgia.
Element. Yeah.
And also like, he's a sick guy. He's just a genuine great guy.
Super so. Cool. Yeah. Everyone go check out our Zonk episode, man. I can't remember.
He's got a new style style that he's working on, isn't it?
I saw that.
He's done it a couple of times.
I'm not sold on it yet. Maybe I will do. I'm not going to critique it though. Last one, man, before we go.
Entrée.
Do you want to describe it for us a little bit? Themos, if you don't mind.
Wait, what is that? Is that a character? Is that a cat?
Yeah, it's a Bodhi.
It's a Bodhi here.
Yeah, on the right.
Yeah, on the right here.
Oh, on the right. That looks like a fucking pug.
Looks like a pug. I was going to say a pug with big fucking ears. Yeah, like some ugly. I mean, pugs are already ugly, but that's an ugly fucking pug if I ever see one.
Like a pug embryo.
So blue
this
outline.
This says entrée.
Yeah,
E-N-T-R-E. It's bubble letters. It's like in white. It's got red and green schemes.
Yeah.
It's got a blue outline and it's got shadow and a red border. It's got a Bodhi character and a fucking, what is that, pug?
Like a pug thing, yeah, on the right.
And a pug on the right. Now, the thing is about this, it kind of looks like something you'd see in like a really, really old school book. And the guy went on to become a master because he's showing he's kind of understanding how it kind of works and he's got his characters and shit. If this was his second ever dub, then I'd be like, yeah. He went on to be like Min One or something. I'd be like, oh, yeah, sweet. But I'm not thinking that because it says 2026.
Yeah. I agree. He definitely has the like, you know, the sausages or whatever you want to call them, the bars of the letters are generally even, except for the hole in the R is way too big and the E kind of fattens up, which is not too bad. It's not too striking. Some of like the DNA strand going through here and just smiley face. Like I'm not into the fill.
He's written
like,
three balls in my nutsack.
Three balls in my nutsack there on the bottom left.
I don't know if that says in.
The Bodhi is really badly done, like, you know, very basic, like shitty. And it's that pose that I fucking hate, you know what I mean? That's like on the first search of Bodhi characters. That's the one that comes out. I've already ranted about how I don't like that.
I've done my fair few.
Yeah, I know. I remember we were chatting about that. The pug, he's gone in on it. I commend the effort. But, you know what I mean? He's still got a way to go. But again, if it looks like he's had fun doing this. So I'll big him up for that. It looks fun. You know what I'm saying? He was having a laugh doing it. Yeah. Anything else to add, Ingo?
No, it's just that the only thing is like the balance is pretty good. Except for the bar, the top part of the R, and then just how fat the top of the E is. But it's got some balance to it. And like, you know, I remember when I started and someone was like, oh, concentrate on the bars, do the bars. And like, anytime I see that, it's like, you know, someone's like grasped like what typography should be like. So you know, it says something.
And your things were very, like, you know, you always had, you had a particular style of very straight letters, you know what I mean? Bold, like legible, fucking, you know, but with a little bit of flair to it, but very, you know, straight letter fucking things, you know? Yeah. So that makes sense, you saying that. Out of 10, I give it, again, I can't give it much more than the last one we watched, the other one we looked at. I'm going to give it another 6 out of 10.
Three and a half. Three and a half.
You know what? The Bodhi now, I'm looking at the Bodhi, I'm giving it 4.
I'm with 4.
Yeah, okay, 4, man. Yo, brother, thanks once again, man. Let's call it a day there.
Yalla.
Salute, brother. Theme did have a song to go out on, but our guest also chose a song. So
we'll always go, comes first.
We'll go with Come Clean, another DJ Premier. We started with Premier. We're ending on Premier. Come Clean, one of my favorite J.Ru the Damager tunes. Again, salute, Mark. Thank you, brother. Yeah?
Oh, so wait. It's the 15th today. When are you 3 years sober?
The 20th.
The 20th.
Yeah. Thank you.
Come Clean.
Oh, yeah, Come Clean. There we go.
I didn't
intend that, but we'll go with it.
I didn't even fucking put those two together, bro. All right, peace, people. We out, man. See you next time. Leave a comment. Ah, you motherfucker. You know what? I forgot one thing. Let me just quickly put it out there. Last week, we had a competition who was going to win the vinyl for the uncut Both Ends record on vinyl, thanks to Jerome Hill. Big up, brother. The winner is Mr. Trackmaster 4808 on Instagram, on YouTube. The comment, he said, "Ow, shizzle, I remember the originals of all them samples and have been playing them since 89-90 as a pirate radio, but what's better is it was made in Bumpkinsville." Apparently this tune was made out in Bumpkinsville. So salute all the bumpkins out there. Mr. Trackmaster 4808, get in touch. Let me know where to send you that vinyl.
Salute hopefully. All the bumpkins out there.
You know what I mean?
Salute those bumps.
All right, cool. Peace, people. Yeah. Same time next week. Leave a comment, hit the like, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Ooh.
Arms house to your mum's house.
Haven't heard this for a while.
Yo, on the front one, jump up and get bumped. If you're feeling lucky, duck, then press your luck. I snatch fake gangster MCs and make them faggot flambe. Your nine spray, my mind spray. Malignant mist that'll leave caught defunct.
Did we get a photo with this teaser?
A car chunk, you couldn't come to the jungles of the East. Popping that gang, you won't survive. Get live, catching wreckers out bang. I don't gang bang or shoot out bang bang. The relentless lyrics, the only dope I slam. I'm a true master, you can check my credentials, cause I choose to use my infinite potential. Got a freaky flow. Control the mic like Fidel Castro. Lock Cuba so deep that you can scuba down. My job's origin is unknown, like the tubas. I've accumulated honeys all across the map,
cause I'd rather bust a nut than
bust a cap in your back. In fact, my rap snaps your saprarilia. I'm the Mac, so I don't need the totem act. My attack is purely mental and its nature's not hit. It's meant to wake you up out of your brain. Wash, shake, stagnate, nonsense. But if you're prissy, you'll get your slot box bust. Your press up on this. I flip, hold dip. None of the real niggas skip. You don't know enough math to count the mics that I rip. Keep the dirty rotten stamp as his verbal weapon spit.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?